To echo Pastor Kevin earlier, Vacation Bible School was awesome. We appreciate all of you, your great workers. We did have worked out to about 32 students that indicated decisions for Christ. And we love that. We celebrated 31 at our closing event Thursday night, and afterward, a young lady came to me with her dad and said, "I did too, but you didn't call my name." So we celebrated with her right there. And parents, grandparents, that celebration includes your follow-up and our follow-up. And if you're not aware, by the way, the one way we celebrate on that Thursday night, that closing event, is we give the students a bag for them to take home with some great stuff in it about the gospel, about Jesus, and just some fun things for them, those that made decisions or indicated decisions, so that the parents will know, hey, to talk to them about that decision, or grandparents will know that as well. So be praying for those students, for all of them as they made decisions, those that made decisions at Centrifuge and CentriKid, and there's a lot more summer to go, isn't there? We got a lot going on. As Kevin said, be praying for the Kenya team. And God, not only that they will impact others for Christ, but God will impact them. If you've never taken a mission trip, never just yielded yourself to the Lord and gone somewhere unfamiliar and served the Lord, you'd be amazed what He has in store for you when you do that, how He will shape you and change you and impact you through the people that are there. Kenya, the Kenya trip, Vacation Bible School. Maybe you are sitting here and you're saying, well, I didn't serve at Vacation Bible School, but I'm praying for them, or I'm not going to Kenya, but I'll be praying for them. Well, good, that's great. But what you need to realize and always remember is we do this together. We might send out teams. We might have servants separated out for events like Vacation Bible School, but the church is the church, and our purpose is the same, and we serve together in the body of Christ. So you can't really compartmentalize and distance yourself from that. You're part of the church, at First Baptist Church. You're part of this congregation. Maybe your family was one of the founding families at what was then Chapel Hill Baptist Church that became First Baptist Church. Or maybe you just showed up today. But if God has brought you to the body of Christ at First Baptist Church, God's brought you here for this purpose, for this body, for this family of God. And we serve that purpose together. It's extraordinary how important purpose and meaning is to us. I was rereading an article that was actually published in The Atlantic about 10 years ago when there was a spate of books telling people how to be happy, how to become happy, what to do in your life to make you happy or make you happier, and how to thrive in your happiness. It just, all of a sudden, the market was flooded with books on happiness, and that's not too unusual, is it? I mean, anytime right now, you could go to Amazon and find books telling you how to be happy. But the article quoted several studies and some research that repeated what we've always known to be true, that happiness is not the same thing as meaning in life. We tend to pursue happiness because happiness is an emotion tied to the circumstances and it makes us feel good. But happiness, as the term says, can be fleeting. It can go away just as quickly as it comes. And if you hang your life on happiness, you'll never be fulfilled because you'll never always be happy or feel happy all the time. Instead, the way God wired us is for meaning and purpose. Meaning and purpose is not tied to the circumstances. Meaning and purpose is tied to our created order. It's tied to who we are and who God created us to be. That includes us not only individually, but us as a congregation. When God created the church, God commissioned the church with a purpose. Every church on planet Earth has one fundamental purpose: to make disciples for Jesus Christ. If it's a spirit-filled, biblically motivated church, that church has this singular purpose: to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Until Jesus comes back, that's what we do. Then we take that singular purpose for the church on planet Earth and we plug it into our congregation. What does it look like in our context? How do we state it? How do we remember it? How do we unify around that purpose? And for us, we do that in three simple statements: to love God, love one another, and to love the world. Loving God, as Jesus said, is the highest calling of every human being, in particular Christians. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind is the number one commandment for all people. To love one another implements the ministries of the church in fellowship and discipleship and ministry. It's where we minister to one another, where we care, they're the caring ministries of the church and the fellowship of the church. And to love the world are the ministries of evangelism and missions. Love God, love one another, love the world. All of that spells making disciples for Christ, disciples who love God, love one another, and love the world. That's our mission. That's our purpose. If you are a part of the body of First Baptist Church of Shiloh, that's your mission. That's your purpose. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I just thought my purpose was to come to church. I thought when I became a Christian, all I had to do was go to church and be nice to people and do good things. See, God's called you to a higher purpose, a greater mission. And we all share that mission. And if God's brought you to First Baptist Church of Shiloh, you are called to share that mission here in this body at First Baptist Church of Shiloh. In our series in the book of Joshua this summer, so far, we've learned, first of all, the call of God, God's call, is generational. It's for every generation in the body of Christ at First Baptist Church, and in every church. God doesn't call particular people or particular generations. God calls every generation that he brings to the church from previous generations to generations going forward. We've also seen that God's call requires courage. Just like he called Joshua to be courageous in all things, God calls us to be courageous and to find that courage in Christ as a church family, but also as individual believers. Whatever you're facing day by day that requires courage, God calls you to be courageous for him, to stand on the word of God, to stand on the truth of his word every day. And we're going to continue that this morning because we're going to look at this. God's call is congregational. It's not only generational, it not only requires courage, but God's call is congregational. God doesn't just call a few people across the spectrum of First Baptist Church, a few demographics, a few in the old, a few in the middle age, a few in the young. God calls us congregationally to fulfill the mission together. We left off with the book of Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to pick up in chapter 1 and verse 10. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10. And you'll recall from the first two installments that God has been speaking to Joshua. The first discussion, the proclamation that God had with Joshua was to call Joshua up to take the place of Moses. Moses has passed away. Joshua now will take his place and lead the people of God into the promised land. Lead the people of God to receive and accept what God has promised them for generations. Their own land, a land of rest, a land of peace. Joshua is going to lead them into that. Then we saw this call continues as God calls Joshua to be courageous, to lead every generation into that calling. This calling is in motion. It's a process. And so God has talked to Joshua individually. Now God is going to have Joshua as his leader talk to the people of God. And as we'll read, first he talks to the, as we'll read it, officials. These are the administrators over the tribes of Israel. And then he will speak to specific tribes and specific people about their call. So it's a moving process where God calls the leader. The leader submits to that call, takes responsibility, then he delegates, then he speaks to all the other leaders that God has risen up, and then he particularly addresses issues in the body, in the congregation, before they move forward. God's call is congregational. It's for all the people who are here and who participate. Chapter 1 is the preparation stage of moving forward into the promised land. So here's what I want you to tuck away in your minds this morning, that God's purpose, the singular purpose, God's purpose dictates our preparation. That's the big picture for what we're going to see in the book of Joshua this morning. God's call, what he's calling us to, his purpose dictates how we prepare. It dictates our preparation for going forward as the people of God and for you and me as individuals in Christ, what God is calling us to, what God's purpose is for us will dictate how we prepare to move forward. Chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible picks up and says this. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people Go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves. For within 3 days you will be crossing the Jordan to go in and to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. Joshua said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember what Moses, the Lord's servant, commanded you when he said, the Lord your God will give you rest and he will give you this land. Your wives, dependents, and livestock may remain in the land Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but your best soldiers must cross over in battle formation ahead of your brothers and help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he has given you, and they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. You may then return to the land of your inheritance and take possession of what Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the east side of the Jordan. They answered Joshua, everything you have commanded us, we will do, and everywhere you send us, we will go. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses in everything. Certainly the Lord your God will be with you, as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your order and does not obey your words and all that you command him will be put to death. Above all, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God's purpose dictates our preparation. God's purpose dictates our preparation. If you think about it, when you go on vacation as a family, your purpose of vacation dictates your preparation. You see, preparation isn't just material things. It's not just doing things or packing bags. Preparation is a mindset. And the mindset starts with the reason for the journey. Why are we doing this in the first place? Because the purpose of the journey dictates the preparation. If you're going on vacation to the beach, you don't typically pack ski parkas, do you? I hope you don't. If you're going on vacation to Alaska, you don't typically pack lightweight swimsuits. This time of year, as the beach season has opened, and the last several weeks, back into April, as you know, I've been making Friday and Saturday journeys a lot to Winston-Salem, then my mother passed away. So a lot going on in that area, driving back and forth. There's nothing quite like driving back to the coast on a Saturday. Lots of traffic, lots of people, lots of cars, lots of congestion, and you can pretty much tell by what they've packed where they're going and what they're going to be doing. Can't you? Because preparation is dictated by purpose. Preparation's not just the material things you pack, it's the mindset that says, we don't need that, we don't need that, we don't need that, but we do need this. This is essential. This is negotiable. Pack this, don't pack that. It's the mindset. And for the people of God, it's the same thing. When you're moving forward with God, God's purpose dictates your preparation. And it begins with the mindset where you say, what does God call us to do? Who does God call us to be? That will determine our resources, our energy, our preparation, what we take with us, what we leave behind, what we need, what we don't need. It'll dictate the ministries that we eliminate as well as the ministries that we need to start. It'll dictate everything we do going forward. God's preparation. God's preparation. God's purpose. And that dictates our preparation, that mindset. And we see that mindset in Scripture. We see that mindset in the people of God as Joshua prepares to lead them into the promised land. God's purpose dictates our preparation. How is that? How is it that God's purpose dictates our preparation? I want to draw from this passage three ways that you can notice right away, but three ways that God's purpose dictates our preparation. This applies, and I'm applying it primarily to us as God's people at First Baptist Church, but you'll see it applies to you and me personally as well. These are universal principles that will apply to you following God and whatever God calls you to do. So how is it that God's purpose dictates our preparation? First of all, God's purpose motivates us. It's the motivating factor for what we want to do. As Joshua speaks to the officials and the officials speak to the people, and then these three tribes, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stand up and they talk to Joshua. Joshua has specific words for them. In this moment, in this process, everyone is getting motivated to follow God's call, to do what God wants the people to do. And it starts with the leaders, because you always need leaders who buy into God's purpose above all. The worst thing you can have, especially as a church, are leaders who do not buy into God's purpose. Leaders who instead say, this is about me and what I want in this ministry. Leaders who say, this is my ministry, hands off, this is what I want. No, what we want and what every church, what every healthy church needs are leaders who see the bigger picture, who buy into God's purpose, who say, this is what God wants us to do together, and this is how my ministry works in that. We're in that process right now where the nominating committee, that is, the team that is tasked to put people in places of ministry, the nominating committee is hard at work. So when they're calling you, when they're praying, when they're looking around, and they pray a lot before they ask people to step into roles of ministry, they are praying for folks that are spiritually empowered and gifted for those roles in ministry and for leaders and folks who get the big picture. People who will say, this is what God wants us to do. People who understand where that ministry plugs into everything that God wants us to do as a church. God's purpose is what motivates us, at least that it should, because the only alternative is being motivated by selfishness, by pride, by the things that we want rather than what God wants. We see it stand out in particular in this passage. First of all, they're motivated strategically. There's a strategy. When people of God get motivated, even if you've been waiting a while, like these folks have been waiting 40 years to cross over into the promised land, Joshua suddenly comes up and he says, you got 3 days. Pack for the trip. You got 3 days. In 3 days, maybe a little more, we're crossing over and you need to be ready. Immediately, they have to be strategic. Immediately, they have to be strategic. And it's the officials. There's another strategy there. You've got leaders who are leading the people to get ready. They aren't left out on their own. We've got these officials, these administrators in each tribe that are taking Joshua's commands, Joshua's instructions, applying them to that. There's a lot of strategy behind it. So we don't do anything haphazardly. We pray, we plan, we prepare. And for our future, that's why we have, what's it called? Strategy 2030. A team that is looking at the big umbrella picture of where we're going to go in the future as a church. It requires strategy. Strategy helps us utilize our resources and maximize our resources the best that we can. Strategy makes sure our energy is put in the right place for God's purposes. It's strategy. They also know they are motivated to be prompt. They're motivated to be prompt. 3 days, get ready. He doesn't say it, but it sounds like he might be thinking procrastinators are going to be left behind. Prompt. Promptness is a key to following God's will, to being obedient to God. Those of us who studied together in the last disciple life term, we were in Experiencing God together. Remember this principle from Experiencing God. When God invites you to participate with him in his purpose and what he's doing, remember that? When do you obey? Right then. Sometimes we go through a crisis of faith. Sometimes we say, God, I'm not sure about this. But as soon as we know what God has called us to do, that's when God is asking us to be obedient. Because that's God's timing. The mindset of the people of God who follow God and his purpose have a mindset that says when God calls, that's his timing. Everything else God's been working to put into place. We don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to worry about that. We know God has been at work. God is at work. In fact, we believe so much in this principle that we believe God knows what comes next. That God's timing is infused in the moment. And when we are obedient to God, we're participating in what he's already prepared to happen. What's going to happen next depends on our obedience now and us being part of what he's going to do. God's purpose dictates our preparation because God's purpose motivates us. There's nothing quite like knowing you're fulfilling the greater purposes of God. You're participating in something great for God in the future and right now. There's nothing quite like knowing God has brought you here to be a part of that purpose. You thought you just walked in the door one day. You thought you just tuned in online and thought, you know what, I'll go visit that church. Maybe you never considered God was pulling you. God was urging you. God was nudging you. You need to be a part of that congregation. You need to be a part of what they're going to do, what I'm calling them to do. Nothing quite so motivating as knowing you're in God's purposes. Giving your life meaning is being where God wants you to be. giving your life meaning is, remember, God created you for this. God made you for this. Secondly, God's purpose dictates our preparation because God's purpose unifies us. God's purpose unifies us. Suddenly, these three tribes step up. The Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. And you'll notice that Joshua references a previous conversation they had with Moses. He doesn't do that for the rest of the tribes. The 12 tribes getting ready to go into the land, just these three. And he references the fact that Moses already told them that when they get into the land, where they're going to go. And this is important because all the rest of the tribes didn't know. All they knew was when they got in the land and they conquered the land, that Joshua then had the task of distributing the land among the tribes. You remember that from the previous conversation God has with Joshua. It's going to be Joshua's call, Joshua's job, not only to lead them into the land, but to distribute the land among the tribes, to designate where the tribes will end up and what will be their home. But these three tribes already had a conversation, already had a moment with Moses where Moses said, this is where you get to be when you get there. Now, wouldn't it be easy to say, well, then I don't need to do anything. I'll just sit back. Let the other tribes worry with the battles and the wars. Let our men stay back and let them fight all the battles. They're the ones that have the problem, not us. All we got to do is come in behind them. They'll clean everything up. They'll take care of Jericho pretty soon. And then we'll just go over where we're supposed to be. Joshua says that's not how it works. You don't get to compartmentalize. You don't get to say, this is us and that's them, because you are part of this congregation. You are part of the people of God. You're going to do your part as part of the people of God and help out your brothers and sisters when we go across. Then you get to settle in your part of the land. The promise hasn't changed. Remember, God's promise never expires, but you are a part of the people of God. Christians have an interesting habit of compartmentalizing their ministries. And sadly, sometimes leaders do that as well. Leaders say, well, this is my ministry. Well, this is my ministry. And we do that too. We say, well, this is where I serve. This is what I do. I don't do VBS. I do something else. But what we forget is we're a body. Every ministry is part of every ministry. Every ministry impacts every other ministry. God has called us all to the same purpose, the same mission. Love God, love one another, love the world. I like to use this as an example. If I were to stand at the back this morning and as you exit out, I were to ask you, what's the purpose of the kitchen team? Now, the kitchen team people, don't jump up just yet. What's the purpose of the kitchen team? A lot of you would say, well, their purpose is to cook and serve food on Wednesday nights. Their purpose is to prepare the meats and the drinks for our big church-wide fellowships, like our Thanksgiving lunch. Their purpose, in other words, is to get food ready and to serve food. No, it's not. That's how they fulfill their purpose, at least in part, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to facilitate fellowship in the body of Christ at First Baptist Church so that you and I can love one another. That's a much bigger calling, isn't it? That really puts a different slant on it, doesn't it? You know what the purpose of the budget and finance committee is? Well, you're thinking, well, yeah, they handle the money and they better do it right. It's not to handle money. Their job, their purpose, is to facilitate the ministries through financial stewardship and to encourage the body of Christ in their giving. Now, along with that, they hold us accountable for our giving. They lead us out in that giving and that distribution of tithes and offerings. But their overall purpose is really to facilitate ministry through financial stewardship. Big difference, isn't it? See, we are every ministry, everything we do is part of the body of Christ, is part of the bigger picture, is part of moving forward as the people of God. Don't compartmentalize your ministry. You're part of everything everybody else is doing, and what you do, how you pray, how you serve impacts everyone else, and how they serve, how they pray, how they work impacts you. God's purpose always unifies the people of God. When we keep the bigger picture in mind, when we remember what God's called us to do, God's purpose unifies us. We're about this one thing, to fulfill the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, starting with Shiloh. And we do that by loving God, loving one another, and loving the world. And you're part of that. You didn't just walk into a church and say, I think I'll go to church today. You didn't just sign up or sign on or walk the aisle when you joined this church. No, no, no. You became part of the body of Christ at First Baptist Church. The great calling of God. I don't know about you, but every time I even think about it, talk about it, I get excited about that. I get excited when I see who God's bringing to First Baptist Church because I know he brought you here for a purpose. God's purpose motivates us. God's purpose unifies us as we remember what he's called us to do. And then third, God's purpose fortifies us. Sometimes we find ourselves once again hanging on to happiness, once again trying to figure out what our meaning is. And when we return to God's purpose, it fortifies us. It returns us to our commitments, to what it is that God wants us to do and what God's called us to do. The overarching umbrella of all of chapter 1 is the purpose and the promise of God. Repeated several times in chapter 1, God is giving you this land. And the Lord tells Joshua over and over, I'm giving you the land everywhere your foot will trod. This is the promise, this is the purpose, and that doesn't expire. I'm giving you this land. That purpose from their past resonates with their present and guides them into the future. It's a reminder that we are always living the purpose God gave our predecessors, moving forward with what God wants us to do. And the great scheme of God's eternity, the people of God that preceded us at First Baptist Church were undertaking the same purpose, the same mission that you and I are today. God knew when he started this church, when they were submissive and they were willing and they committed to him, God knew that we would be here today committing and recommitting to his purpose. It fortifies us in our faith, in our history, and in our purpose when we focus on who we are as a people of God and what God wants us to do. Verse 16, they answered Joshua, everything you have commanded us, we will do, and everywhere you send us, we will go. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses in everything. Certainly the Lord your God will be with you just as he was with Moses. There it is. They say we're tying everything to the past. This is the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and everybody behind them and everybody around them saying, we're looking to you, Joshua. We know the promise that came through Moses, and we are ready to fulfill that promise through you. God has called you just like he called Moses. Look at verse 18. Anyone who rebels against your order and does not obey your words and all that you command him will be put to death. Then they turn back to Joshua. But above all, you be strong and courageous. Notice three things real quick this morning as we wrap up. These are three non-negotiable elements of fortifying your faith and our purpose together. First is continuity. Continuity. It's a commitment to the mission that started long ago, continues in us, and moves forward. It's that moment you say, you know what, I've been living on the fringe. I've been being in the church, but not part of the body of Christ. And I want to be part of that continuity with the past. I want to be doing what God wants me to do as a part of this body. We view the past in many ways. And we know that in Christ, our past is forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. That's glorious. That's wonderful. But sometimes, as fallen human beings, we also cling to the past a little more than we should. Sometimes it's called nostalgia. You know what nostalgia is? Nostalgia is when you convince yourself that a past event was the best it'll ever be. It can almost be a kind of idolatry where you yearn for that past event. You try to recreate that past event over and over. And when you're serving God, he's constantly telling you there is more to come. You think, I did something great then? Wait till you follow me forward. There's that continuity with the history and the past. But God says that continuity reminds us there needs to be a commitment to the mission going forward and what God wants us to do. Fidelity, a complete trust in God's character. All the people together, voice together, we trust God. certainly the Lord God will be with you as he was with Moses. This is one of many ways they voice their belief, their trust, their absolute trust in the character of God, that God is the same always and forever, and God is always good. When God leads you forward into a personal decision, when God calls you out to mission for him, remember, God is always good, God is always powerful, and God is always trustworthy. God will give you the courage you need to move forward. And then third, accountability. It's an awareness of the consequences. And boy, they state those awareness, those consequences clearly. If anyone does not obey your words and all that you command him, we'll be put to death. Now, we're not going to do that. You'll be glad to know. And that's not the teaching here. You'll even be happier to know. The teaching here is when we commit to what God wants us to do, we need to be fully aware of the consequences. And we need to be held accountable for those consequences. We need to be held accountable for the fact that if we sit back and do nothing, there are consequences to that. There are people that God wants us to disciple, people that need to be saved, neighborhoods in this area that need to be reached. And if we sit back and do nothing, the consequences are for them. If we engage with God and we participate in his purpose, there are consequences and accountability to going forward. Doing what God wants us to do always bears fruit. It always works in his favor. He is always showing us what comes next and how he intends to use us in his purpose. When we prepare to move forward, we always need to remember we are accountable to one another, but we are ultimately accountable to God. And believer, listen, in all that you do in your walk with Christ, you are accountable to Jesus Christ for your walk with Christ. And I would offer, I believe, the reason you're still here on planet Earth, if you're saved, you know you're going home to be with Jesus, right? Best place you can be, best relationship you can have. You're still here to serve him. Wherever he's put you, whatever context, whatever family, whatever job, whatever school, and this church, you're here to serve him. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You know what it's like to fly on airplanes. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have flown. You know what it's like to land and to taxi to the gate. And you know that great anticipation that they will stop the plane and you can jump up out of your seat and get in line to get off that plane. There's no greater joy. The flight's 15 minutes or 15 hours. There's no greater joy than getting off the plane. Several years ago, a pastor, a former chaplain, wrote a story about that. He said he was on an airplane. He was coming back from a conference. He was weary. He was tired. He was on the aisle seat. The plane taxied in and pulled up to the gate. And as soon as it stopped with that little bitty jolt, when you know the brakes are locked, that little jolt, as soon as it stopped, he stood up in the aisle to get his bag and get off the plane. And when he did, a teenage girl pushed past him and got way ahead and got out there. And then her family tried to push past him too. And he said, I was so irate and annoyed at that, I put my hand out like Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. You shall not pass. And he said, the family had a few choice words for me, which I can't write down. And they still pushed past me to catch up with their teenage daughter. He said he was still fuming. He was irate. He was complaining to himself when he was pulling his bag down and getting ready to get off the plane. And suddenly, a flight attendant came up to him and very quietly said to him, that young lady suffers from anxiety and was having a severe anxiety attack on this plane. She and her family were not being rude. They were desperate to get off the plane. And he said, in that moment, he was humbled. By being held accountable for his actions, he was humbled. But he said the thing that stood out for him the most was that he had forgotten who he was, a pastor, a chaplain. And that as a chaplain, he had actually been trained to recognize anxiety disorders, PTSD, to minister to veterans as well. And the Lord humbled him in that moment and said, never forget who you are, and who you are wherever you are. God has called you to his greater purpose. Your life is not a little bitty life. Our lives together, it's not a little small thing. This is a great work of God that we're participating in. A great work of God. I want to offer this morning to, if you're in this room or at home, and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you never answered the call to his purpose to begin with, let this be the day you give your life to Jesus Christ, to follow him as your Savior, be forgiven of your sins, and to answer the call to follow Christ. So believers, listen, in this room or at home, do you find that you have compartmentalized your life and said, well, this is really all about me? And have you been reminded this morning that it's not? This is about the greater call of God in Jesus Christ. This is about what he wants to do through you and through us as a congregation. Would this be the day that you would recommit your life to Christ and to the mission, the purpose that God has for you in the body of Christ at First Baptist, in your workplace, in your school, in your family, in your neighborhood? God has you on mission. Would you recommit to that purpose today? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you that you don't give up on us. We thank you, God, that your mercies are new every day, every morning. We thank you, God, for the blood of Christ that purges our sin, that takes away our sin and gives us eternal life in his resurrection. We thank you, God, for what you've done for us in Christ. We ask your forgiveness, Father, that we have neglected the greater purpose, Father, you've called us to. We ask your forgiveness, God, where we have even for a moment thought that what we're doing here is about us and about what we want. God, forgive us for that. And Father, I pray for each of us here that we would answer the call of God in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's that person that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would answer the call of God in Christ. Come to Jesus today. Be forgiven of your sins. Receive eternal life and a home in heaven, and serve God's purpose for you today. And God, I pray for believers here as well. Maybe we have slacked off. Maybe we have forgotten the mission that we're on, the purpose that we're on. God, I pray today would be the day we would unburden ourselves to you. We would recommit our lives to service in the time that we have, God. May we fulfill the purpose that you have for us. So God, whatever we're going through as well, whatever difficulties, uncertainties, trials we're going through, Father, remind us you're preparing us for that. You knew we would be here at this time. You'll provide us for us going forward. And God, I pray for all of us, Father, if there are prayers on our hearts, needs on our hearts, God, burdens, fears, uncertainties, Father, we would cast those on you today as well. God, other decisions that need to be made. Maybe it's to join fellowship with First Baptist Church. Maybe it's to follow through in believers' baptism. Maybe it's to step up to serve you in what you're calling us to do. God, I pray in this time of response, you would move in our hearts, that we would respond as you're calling us to respond today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.